Welcome to I Guess We're Grownups Now, episode 28. I'm Brooke Shelley, and Carrie will be joining us in a little bit to talk about holidays. Quick note, we had a little bit of technical difficulty near the end of the podcast, so the sound quality is odd, but thanks for sticking around. Also, apologies for the long wait for this episode. We discussed this a bit in the beginning of the show, so I hope that you listen, and I hope that this helps with your upcoming holidays.
Hi, and welcome to I Guess We're Grownups Now. Brooke, we're back.
Hey, we're back.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing.
Been a little bit.
I thought we had stopped existing.
Yeah, me too.
As I'm sure our listenership did too.
Hopefully some of you still have us subscribed to in your podcast app, so you're actually seeing this update.
Exactly.
But we're trying to do something more regular, and we're also trying to be a little bit more careful with our time and your time. So the new goal here is to have, you know, around 30 minutes of podcast, still around the same topics of adulthood and being a grown-up that we did before, but part of the reason we took a pause is just because editing takes a while and life takes a while, and we've both had a pretty wild set of lives in between.
Yep.
I had a broken bone. I got a new job.
Oh my gosh.
You've had a bunch of family stuff and all sorts of things. And
exactly.
It's just, wait, did you also have a broken bone in between?
No, I don't think I did this time.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we're just...
I think it's funny that I have to think about that, though.
We're active people. No. And by being active people, yeah, that means that we break ourselves sometimes. So,
we do.
And we're both healed and healthy and happy. And
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Employed.
Employed. Yeah. Gainfully employed. I'm just booking a trip to Japan where I'll probably record an episode. So that'll be cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. But what we wanted to break into this episode, because it's right around the corner, is the topic of the holidays, which is something that, we've been through a few of them, whether you're in Canada or America or wherever else. There's a whole slew of fall holidays, and we're about to hit the big one for North America, which is at least for, like, white Christian culture, is Christmas. So, but also,
I'm disappointed. I thought you were going to say solstice.
Oh, I mean, you know, I love a good Yule, but I think most people are buying stuff at Walgreens for Christmas. Hanukkah, I think, is over now, but was just recently too. So
high holidays time these days.
And regardless of which one you celebrate, or which one you're forced to go to celebrate with your family, or wherever you do celebrate, we just kind of wanted to talk about, like, what holidays are like as an adult, at least in our experience, and maybe some tips on how to mitigate holiday displeasure, especially in light of the American election that just went on about a month ago. I'll kick us off, but like for me, growing up in Texas, like the high holy days were Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And I have a birthday that falls right around Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, which means that so many of my birthdays, I had pumpkin pie, and they were vaguely, brown, orange, and yellow, the lovely fall Thanksgiving colors.
Yep. And
as an adult, I've struggled a lot with what family means for me, because I mostly have chosen family at this point. And because of that, something like Thanksgiving just doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. I don't like the origins of the holiday. I think it's a pretty racist holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, what I did was took friend of the podcast, Susie, with me to get just a real wonderful, craptastic, like, Thanksgiving dinner at a dive bar.
Nice.
They actually had turkey and gravy and cranberry sauce, and And we had some wine and we watched a bad movie. And then a few days later, we celebrated my birthday at a Russian bar and had horseradish vodka and a bunch of, I'll say caviar, but please note that like it's very inexpensive caviar. It was really good. And yeah, and that was how we celebrated. And I don't, for myself and a few friends of mine who don't have family, the fear of going home, quote unquote, to your folks' house or to grandma's house or whatever, and having to talk about like, their white supremacy with them, it wasn't a thing. And it's a weird feeling because other than the feeling of like, oh no, am I alone? Do I have no family? Which is something that I grapple with. Like, I had a really good
Yeah.
one. I had a really good Thanksgiving. So
That's awesome.
yeah. How about you?
So Canadian Thanksgiving is in October.
Yeah.
And so that was pre-election. So, but I do remember, so my family, which is my sister, her husband, kids, and my parents, and then me and my husband and our kids. We usually get together for, yeah, the big ones. Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And so we were at our place for Thanksgiving and it got a bit awkward, but I gotta say, my brother-in-law is getting kind of woke. He's like, he held his own when it came to, dealing with my dad, who, he's kind of old school, oblivious, sexist, racist. And so hi, Dad, if you're listening, you don't tell me you listen to podcasts, but I guess I'll find out if you do. And so I was really thankful for my brother-in-law, who I think does listen to my podcast, who like it wasn't just me going, oh, Dad. It was, me and Mike, and we were a team, and it was super nice. So
That's great.
yeah, that was Thanksgiving. And then for American Thanksgiving, I have a friend in town who just got a bunch of sort of people she knew from various areas. Like it was a real mixer. She intentionally brought together people who didn't know each other, which is really gutsy. And I met some very, very cool people there too, some women in tech, which was refreshing. Like we just sat around and nerded out and talked about what kind of computer we first learned to code on and stuff like that. And
Awesome.
yeah, tried to guess each other's ages, like by what computer we first learned to code on. And yeah, it was kind of neat.
What was the first
So
computer you learned to code on?
a VIC-20,
Oh
Commodore
yeah.
VIC-20.
All
Yeah.
right. Yeah, that's definitely
Big.
a period of time. For me, it was an Apple IIe.
Okay. Yeah. That was the second one that I coded on. Like that was the one in school that I learned, but my family had a VIC-20 and yeah.
We had an Atari 2600, but we didn't code
Oh
on it. We
yeah.
just played that tank game.
Yep.
So it sounds like you had sort of what in America at least we call a Friendsgiving.
Yes.
Which frankly I used to go to, and now I'm kind of like, no, I don't want to. Like I think this year for me, both holidays and otherwise, I realized just how much I like spending time either alone or one-on-one. Like I've always known that, but at this point I'm like, outside of events related to like the arts or literature or sort of charitable things, like with Basic Rights of Oregon, where I'm on the board, like I just don't go to events that have a group of people. I just don't find it very exciting. Like the couple people that I want to see at those things, I'd rather spend quality time with at dinner or getting a drink or going on a walk. And being in a place where it's really loud or where it's mostly strangers just seems kind of like a nightmare. And then the times where I've had like, 10 or 20 of my friends in a room, it just feels overwhelming because I'm like, well, I can't give quality time of day to any of them.
To anybody. And why would you do that on like a holiday? Holidays are supposed to be fun. I mean, why would you do that any day?
Right. And restful. And for some people, I'm sure that's the part that's really great. But I don't know. I grew up watching my meemaw and my aunt and my family, like, run around and make sure that everyone had everything they needed and all the food was prepared. And I'm just like, why go through that trouble? And I'm sure it's exciting for some folks. It just isn't for me. And I guess 2016, among other things, has been a realization of just that feeling. And And it's been really freeing. So I think for Christmas as well, probably I'm going to do maybe with the same person, with Susie and my roommate, Laurel. We're just going to have like a jokey gift exchange for the cats, and maybe like give each other a thing and drink Nogavit, which is eggnog, usually almond milk eggnog or soy eggnog mixed with akavit, which is really good. And listen to really corny Norwegian and Swedish holiday music, which is
Nice.
I'm going to say a tradition. It's only happened once, but we started that last year. It was really great. I think we're going to do it again this year. But the key being like a couple people, no real plans. Like meal is very chill and everyone just kind of stays as long as they want to and then leaves. So.
Yeah, I'm compelled to do the family thing. Like, I don't know. I mean,
It's harder if you're a parent, I
it's what we
think.
do. It would be super weird. Yeah, well, there's yeah, and so the kids love getting together with their cousins, and you know, I'd still like to getting together with my parents and my sister. So
Sure.
it's not horrible for us. Usually, like, we're pretty good to each other. But I do try to like manage the drama around whose house is it at? Who all is invited? Like, is this our family and, you know, in-laws and maybe sisters and brothers of in-law? And like, how big does it get? How much, you know, do you have to care about people's cat allergies or
Right.
food allergies? Or, you know, like, there's, you have to sort of manage all that stuff. And so keeping it small is pretty important to
Yeah.
me.
And then we.
Or letting somebody else do it and then
Right.
just being like, how can I help? But I'm not owning it.
Right. Just show up at the casserole and say, like, I'm here. And then
Right.
in an hour, I won't be here. This has been fun.
And right. And you have as good a time as you can
Right.
by like not trying to be in control of it all and orchestrating something huge. And but
We.
also, if you want to make decorations, you know, make decorations and
Totally.
yeah, like just kind of do the things you want to do and not the things you don't want to do. That's important whether you're getting together with family or friends or nobody.
And I think sometimes like cultural pageantry or ritual can be really exciting. And I, for
Yeah.
me too, I'm still figuring out like I had a knee jerk, I hate it all reaction when I was growing up because it was so tied in with like Christianity and the anti-homosexuality and stuff like that for me. And you know, now in my 30s, I'm like, oh, some of this stuff's really fun. Some of
Yeah.
it's really not fun. And some of it I can like reclaim in different ways. There's sort of a magic in like saying, yeah, I actually like this thing and I'm going to do it my way, but it's going to be a good laugh.
Yeah.
Something that we used to do. So growing up, my like bio family was pretty big. My dad was one of four kids and they all had their own kids. At least after I was seven, there were a bunch of cousins.
Right.
And so we had these pretty big Christmases that were largely around the kids getting gifts. But we usually did Christmas Eve as like a larger family unit. So Christmas Eve, everyone would trade gifts. Like, Meemaw and Papa would give the grandkids the gifts, and then we started pretty early. We figured out that like a secret Santa was a better plan than like everyone trying to
Yes.
do a free for all because it was different. Like,
Yes.
some of us are poorer than others, and there was like a $20 gift limit, and everyone would always break the rules to give each other like really bizarre like joke gifts. And Meemaw and Papa were always like hyper generous and would give us like, you know, a couple $100 or something, or like sweaters. Anyway, it was really great. And then the next morning, we'd all kind of do our own thing in the morning with our like nuclear families, and then we'd show up at Meemaw and Papa's house again. Undo our like we had stockings on their mantle. We'd like pour out the stockings, so like they're always like, you know, oranges and walnuts and
Nice.
usually like a little tchotchke like toy, and then maybe like another $100 or something, or like actually that was always when they gave us the check for college, which like at the time I was like, why would I want a bond? But I guess it was pretty exciting. Although mine got spent with my dad and I never saw any of it, but theoretically it was really cool. But that was a thing that was like such a ritual. And then we would spend the rest of the day at Mima's house, and people would watch football because I think football was always on, and maybe a movie, and we'd play basketball or like I'd ride motorcycles or something. And there was this like sense of we're not visiting a place, but like this is our actual home. This is where we live to some degree. This is where our heart is. And so
Right.
everyone felt very at home and comfortable being there. I mean, especially me, I grew up a lot at my grandmother's house, and so it really was like coming back home. And that loss of specifically that house when she moved away, I think that changed a lot of the holidays for me in the first place. So I went from like all of that stuff to now I don't know what I'm doing. I live in Austin. Even if I go to Dallas, it's not the same. And at this point, like I don't even go to Dallas at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you have that kind of shift too of like, what did you grow up with, and then where has that gone?
So when I was like a teenager, I lived in the same city as both my grandmothers. Both my grandfathers had passed. And so we would often have family holidays with one grandmother or the other, and then the whatever extended family could make it. My mom had three brothers and sisters, and my dad had five brothers and sisters. So there was like, there could be pretty big family at some of these things too. So yeah, it was always a time for like cousins who I adored. And yeah. But again, it was like, there was never like, there was never political or religious awkwardness with my families. Like everybody was pretty, they were all pretty good times. And I don't remember going through a phase where I was like, oh, I hate everything about these things. Like it was pretty happy times.
Yeah, that's
And
good.
then, yeah, and then we grew up and moved away, and I lived pretty far from home for a while. So I sort of reattached to my husband's family and hung out with them on holidays. And yeah. So
And
yeah, it changed over the years.
were they pretty different than
Well, it was always more awkward because it was not my family. And for the first few years, especially, I felt like I was on display as Mark's girlfriend. And like, that's awkward. But I guess like, eventually you get through that and it falls to some poor other new spouse to be the new person that everybody is like, oh, so tell me again about your job.
Oh man.
Ugh.
Yeah, when I was married, it was an interesting experience because my ex-wife was Chinese American, and so I'm like a Caucasian, like white person. My family had like traditions that were rooted in like Scandinavian tradition, a little bit of English tradition, and so we had some things that like I grew up with that I kind of was like, oh, this is what holidays are or whatever. And some of them were the same when I would spend time with my ex's family, and some of them were radically different. But it was very much I was the only white person in the family for a little while, and then
Oh, yeah.
one of their cousins married another white person. And so then there were two of us, but it was a very like I stood out very strongly. In addition to like being the new person of the family, I was like a very different person in the family. And there was a little bit more of a segmentation between the kids and the adults than there was what I grew up with. So all of the
Yeah.
adults spoke Mandarin to each other exclusively, almost. And then all of the kids or the younger folks spoke mostly English, but some Chinese. And there was like an age gap with people, but also like a very different cultural difference. So a couple of us were more like leftist, and queer, and a lot more people were more like conservative and had moved from like Taiwan, for instance. So their like cultural reference as well as their beliefs around what you're supposed to do were really different. So it made for some stilted conversation. I think we tried to play some games. It was just one of those hard things. And I was a smoker at the time, so I'd always like escape out to go get more cigarettes. And like, I would like, if there was ever an errand, like somebody get more wine, I was always volunteering so I could get away for a little while. But yeah, it's a wacky thing, I think, also that aspect of it, like to be the new person of a family. And yeah, do we have any tips, I guess, for like people who are like, how do you establish new traditions, or how do you integrate into a family that isn't the one that you grew up with? Or hell, even like for me, sometimes I'll go to other people's families' holidays. Like, what do we like? Maybe like top five things that you should think about or do, maybe.
I guess for me, the biggest thing was being mentally prepared that nobody's family is exactly like yours. And so there will be things that, whatever situation you're going into, they're doing something that you have never heard of before and you will feel like a loser about. But I think, like, be honest in that situation. I know when I was young, I would like try to act all cool and like, and so your only options there are, join in but be a total boor while you're doing it or withdraw. And so I think like taking an approach where you're like, okay, there are going to be things that I've never done before happening. Like when that happens and I'm confused, I will be honest about the fact that I'm confused and not judgy, just like, oh my gosh, what are you guys doing? This is interesting. Like, what are you doing? This is neat. Rather than like, oh, well, we didn't do it like that, or I don't know what that is, or like, yeah. Just don't pretend. Like, just be open to new experiences and vaguely interested. Like, yeah.
Where there's like a green holiday pickle.
What?
What?
A green
Yeah.
holiday pickle? I've
A
never
green
heard this.
holiday pickle. And the holiday pickle is like it's apocryphally associated with Germany, but it's basically like everybody goes and they like look for this pickle in the tree, and then whoever finds it like gets good luck for the rest of the year. But it's an example of like one of those traditions where if you didn't know about it, you're like, what the hell is this? But if you and you can like try to play along, but you'll like be clueless. But yeah, like the food might be different, and like yeah, open minds are always good. I think for me too, I'd say that a good tip is whatever you decide to do during whatever holidays you celebrate, like rest assured that it makes you happy. Like find something that you enjoy, even if it's very far outside the norm or outside of what the expectations are for you. Or obligations, and like try to enjoy it. And maybe there are things, maybe you can't do what I do, like you have to go and see your family or your bio family or whatever, right? Or holidays, parties at work. But like pick one thing that you want to do on your own and do that. Like just.
Oh, I lost you again. Is it just me?
No, I'm
Or
here.
your audio? Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry, my roommate came in, so I had to like pause for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, so like pick one thing that you enjoy, do that thing, try to find a way that like even if that's not the whole thing that you do for the holiday, like yeah. What's your one thing do you think? If you have
My
one.
one thing.
Yeah, what is like a thing you always love to do or always want to do during the holiday?
I would say like sleep in one day.
Yeah, heck yeah.
I think on like multi, like especially 4 day weekends and longer, like there has to be a sleep in somewhere there.
Which is
I
tricky if you have
also,
kids, right?
it is, although they're older now, but it's tricky when they were like wee little. And I guess the other part of it would be knowing when you're giving up your usual and your comfort zone for one time. Like, especially if you're like dating somebody new or just moved to a new city, or if you have an infant, like know that this holiday isn't going to be like the rest of them, and that's okay. It's probably not your last holiday, and things will get back to normal, and you will find a routine that you're comfortable with. This is maybe not that year.
Yeah, totally. I think for people who are like worried about like, oh God, what if my, uncle talks about
Oh.
Trump, or what if my like aunt tells me all the racist feelings that she has when she's had a couple glasses of wine, or what if I've just come out to my family and this is my first holiday as an openly queer person? Like, same kind of deal, just like know who you are, know how you feel about it, listen, like nod. When somebody says something awful, like if you feel safe enough to do it, say something. If you're back with your folks or your family or whoever, and they are like talking to you and engaging with you, like recognize that you're also an adult and you get to stand up for the things that you believe in. And like, I would encourage people if they can go and be part of that, if they're not like, you know, banned from the house or something, to like actually have those conversations, to actually challenge the like racist and classist and like homophobic assumptions or ideas that their family has. That's something that helps a whole lot. Like for those of us that either don't have a bio family or are like not allowed to go to their house or whatever, like for folks like us, like we really appreciate that. That helps us out a lot. And when we do have these elections, and we do have these like huge, you know, sort of schisms where a majority of white people are voting for a horribly intolerant, horribly like racist, white supremacist man, those conversations can help avoid it, because then your family who's voting will have to recognize, oh my God, I'm voting against my friend, or I'm voting against my son, or I'm voting against my daughter or my daughter's partner. Or whoever, right? Even just saying like, hey, like that hurts my friends who are gay, like makes a big difference.
I think a lot of people, if they don't have someone in their life who's affected by it, it helps them to know that maybe someone in their life does have someone in their life affected by it.
Totally. And it can feel scary. And I think like, you know, if you don't feel like you have any backup, if you're the only person in your family that's like leftist or queer or whatever, like be careful. You know, you don't want to get into a screaming match with them, but even just saying like, hey, I don't agree and I think that hurt, it's hurtful, or that makes me feel sad, like that's real. But if you can take a partner, or if you have a friend with you and they can kind of be your emotional support, like that can be helpful. Maybe you can trade off and like one of you can go with the other to their holiday for a little while. But yeah, I would stress that it's important to go do that stuff if you can, and like avoiding the awkwardness is yeah. Go ahead.
And I think there are no laws about staying in the room when somebody's being horrible either.
Yeah.
Like if you're in find yourself in a conversation that's super horrible or even just moderately horrible, like you have to go to the washroom suddenly or you need to step outside for a smoke suddenly. Like
Yeah.
you don't have to stay there
Right.
and be the defender of all things that you stand for. You don't have to.
Yeah, and
Like
I
that's
think
not on you.
the other thing that I would say on the same topic is if there's a family member or a person that goes to your holidays that makes you really uncomfortable for whatever reason, right? If they're just a really horrible person, or you have a history where they've done something, like talk to your folks about it. Talk to the person who's planning the party. Say, hey, I would love to be there, but this person makes me uncomfortable, and share whatever you feel is necessary or important to share in that regard. You know, but like let people know, because most people are not empathetic enough to read that. They won't know that like Uncle Billy has always scared you ever since he like, you know, pretended to be dead like 10 years ago at the holiday. But like, it's an important thing to tell people. Just kind of take some ownership over what should be and could be a relaxing time. I don't know. And if you don't have folks, or if you don't have bio family, or if you don't have obligations, and hanging out with one or two friends doesn't sound good, like go on a vacation, go to a different place. Like tickets right now are really cheap to go to Asia or Iceland. Like go explore somewhere and see what they
That's a
do.
great idea.
And if you have the money and you have the ability, which is definitely like not all of us, but even just like driving to another city that you're not familiar with and like exploring what happens there can be a fun thing.
Totally.
Yeah. But yeah, even if you stay at home and just read a book, I think it's a worthwhile thing to do. And like, I fully support that. So, yeah. Well, we'll probably record again before the holidays, maybe? No,
before
wait,
Christmas?
It's
I think so.
Maybe. Yeah, we will. We totally
will.
Yeah,
we got one more.
We're trying to do every 2 weeks as well. So I don't know when these will actually get released, but hopefully we'll try to release them pretty quickly. But we're so glad that those of you who are still listening stayed listening.
Yeah.
Sorry again for the long wait and the long pause, but please know that it was in order for us both to make our lives a lot better, and we're sort of happier and healthier for it. So
yes.
Thank you for your support. I hope that any holidays intervening between now and when you hear our next podcast are great ones. I hope our advice helps. And yeah.
This episode of I Guess We're Grownups Now is brought to you by FeedPress. FeedPress is analytics and podcast hosting made for bloggers and podcasters. FeedPress is a simple, intuitive, and powerful RSS analytics and podcast hosting platform. With 400 meg of flexible file storage that rolls over monthly, you can easily upload 4 episodes per month. Upgrading storage is easy and affordable, starting at a flat rate of just $20 per gig. Go to feed.press/grownups today and sign up to try FeedPress for $14, no contracts or commitments. Use promo code grownups during checkout to get 10% off your first year. Thank you, FeedPress.
I also want to give a brief plug to a friend's product, which is Podcast Adjacent. It's a new thing called Bumpers. It's at bumpers.fm. It's a really fun thing. Go check it out. It's kind of like Twitter for podcasts. It just makes, like, you can make short ones. They end up in a stream. People can follow you. And you can, like, easily add, like, custom sounds and little, like, stingers to it, too. I'm on Twitter at BROKSHELLEY, Brooke Shelley.
And I'm on Twitter at KAYAYARAI.
Well, thanks again, and have a great afternoon.
Yeah, you too, Brooke.